This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 107, Underworld, Rise of the Lycans from 2009. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and my co-host is...
Nate, from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate, how long has it been since you've seen Rise of the Lycans?
The theater, 2009. I never rewatched it. Not that I didn't like it. I just never got around to it. There's some movies that I like, and then I buy them, and I just don't get around to watching them again for whatever reason. And now was the time to do it. So it's been about 12 years since I seen it.
Yeah, look, for myself, I seen this once on Blu-ray, to be honest with you. So this is the second time on the 4K front. But in terms of like the entire rewatch time was pretty much once, and it was the Blu-ray. If you guys are watching us on YouTube or you're listening to us on the go, you guys know how we do things around here. We're going to give you guys our Rotten Tomato scores, our box office numbers, and then we're going to go right to our main review. So with that said, let's get right into some box office numbers of Rise of the Lycans from 2009. Domestic, $45 million. International, $46 million. Worldwide total of $92 million on a budget of $35 million on an opening night of $20 million. So, Nate, what did you think?
Okay, the budget was lower than the second movie. So even though it didn't make as much as the second movie, it had a lower budget. I would say it wasn't as big of a hit. Also, it had some things working against it. You didn't have your main actress in it. You had a different setting. But it probably turned a nice little profit. Obviously, they made two more. So, you know, it's not a bomb or anything like that.
Yeah, so it's pretty interesting, right? Because KBS Bacon Sale is not in this movie. So I think that's what hurt the box office, maybe, right?
Probably. I would say probably, yes.
All right, so with that said, let's check out the critics and the audience have to say about this film.
Well, these reviews could have hurt it, too, because this has a very low Rotten Tomato score. But again, for the third straight movie, the divide between the critics and fans is large. This sits at a 29% critically. Very low. Critics did not like it. Audience is 63%. So it's fresh, barely, but it's fresh with audiences. Critics, rotten. They're not a fan. But then again, they have not been a fan of any of these three movies so far.
Yeah, look, you know how we do it here. We're going to throw out all the scores. We're going to throw out all those box office numbers. Okay. Yep. And we're going to give you guys now our actual review. We're going to break these down into these categories, but you already guys know the categories. So let's start it off with the lead character himself, Marcus, right? His name is Marcus.
Lucien is the main character.
Marcus is the bad guy.
Marcus is the villain in part two. Lucien, my man is back. He was my favorite character in the first movie. I'm glad he's back. I will say this. I thought he was a little cooler in the original Underworld, but I think he's better than Celine in both of her movies for me. I have not given Kate Beckinsale a huge score because I just think it's not a great character. It's not a great written character. Lucien is a much better written character. He has more, his backstory's better. They show it in this movie. You know, he's the baby. Victor could have killed him. Instead, he chooses to like bring him in and then they do the whole thing. And that's more in storyline. But still, then he has a love story, an actual love story that makes sense, unlike Celine and Michael from the other movies. So there's just a lot of things. I think he's a better, more interesting character. He has a more tragedy to his story, in my opinion, than Celine. I don't know. I like him better. I still don't think he's amazing because this version of him slightly, I'm just telling you, Underworld, he was way cooler. He just like looked cooler. He was more badass, but that's fine. He was good in this. I give him a 4. I like Lucien a lot as a lead character.
You know, it's funny, Lucien, I really, really liked him in this movie. And I know why you liked him in the first, because we broke that down in the last few episodes ago. But this one, I kind of liked him a lot more because they dove more into the character. Right. Yes. We saw him at birth. We saw him and now you got to see him why he hates Victor for all these years and everything. But I digged it. I don't know. Something about him. I thought it worked very well. I enjoyed him. Great actor. It's not like Michael, he was horrible like Michael, the one that turns into oil.
The one that turns into oil. Yeah, he's Scott Speedman is not good as Michael Sheen.
No, he's not. And I liked it, and I love how he met his other Lycan brothers that were from the first movie. So with that said, I gave him a 5. I really liked him, and I thought the story, we'll talk about that story, but yeah, I liked him. I thought he was very good. Let's get to the main villain, Victor.
All right. This is, I'm going to throw it out. I'm going to give him a 5. I think he was great in the first movie. I think he's better in this movie. He is more of the villain in this movie. Because remember, he doesn't show up in the first movie till like halfway through. And even then, he's not in a ton of scenes. But he's so good that it's like, he's good in short bits. In this, he is throughout the entire movie, right? And he's great. He's just, Bill Nighy just has a way to deliver his lines. His line delivery is great. When his daughter tells him that she's pregnant, his reaction is like stuff of gold. It's so good. He's so disgusted. And you like, yeah, you believe it that he's actually disgusted. And he fights in this movie. He gets some cool armor at the end. He puts on. Now, obviously, that helps because he's an older guy. I'm not going to think this actor is going to do all these action scenes. So put him in a suit, give him the cool mask. Now your character can fight and be involved in fight scenes. It was great. I think he is the best villain in the series. Sure, he's had multiple cracks at it, but still, there's a reason why they brought him back as the main villain in this movie. And it's because I did think, now, Alex, you correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm almost done, but I 5 out of 5, I thought it was a cool opportunity to maybe use the lady vampire who we never got to see. What did you think that would be cool? Because you had Victor in the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
She died in the first movie. And then you had Marcus in the second movie. But what if they, I think her name is Amelia.
Yeah, Amelia.
What if they used Amelia as the main villain? That would have been neat. Because then all three of those like elder vampires could have had a movie.
Yeah.
Either way, I love Victor. Bill Nighy's amazing. 5 out of 5.
I agree with you. I think they should have went that route. I think it would have made the movie more with the mythology that me and you were talking about. It would have expanded more on the mythology of these old elder vampires. So yeah, I think it would have been fun, but we don't get that. So we get Victor, which is not a complaint at all. I agree with you. I gave him a 5 too. I freaking love this guy as a vampire lord. Like, I love it. He goes, that is a monstrosity.
Yes.
You would fight your own father. Remember, he was like, I loved
his delivery is so good.
Oh, it is. It's amazing delivery. I love the blue eyes. I love when him and Lucien look at each other while the sun is hitting him, and then he just walks into the shadow like, you know, he done screwed up. And he is such a stubborn vampire that this guy decides to kill his own daughter. How stubborn is this dude? Because he could have just said, you know what? I'm not killing my daughter. No one's going to touch my daughter because I will bite you, all you peoples. Right? No, this guy was like, like, straight up, I'm going to kill. And that's a flaw that he has. He's a stubborn guy. Like, he really hates the Lykings. And knowing that his daughter banged the Lyking and they have a grandchild pissed him even more off. So, but hurt him too. So there was a weakness to him that you saw him crying when she died. So it was pretty cool. I gave him a 5. Let's get right into these action scenes.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I forgot to even mention the part about with his daughter. Like, the fact that he was willing to murder his own daughter because he's more concerned about the race of vampires than family or anything. You're right. Amazing. Extra villain points. Whenever you do, whenever you kill your own kid, it's just like automatic. All right. Action. So here's, I got to be honest. The action is not as good in this movie as in the last movie. So watching these, you know, spread apart by a week, the freshest one is always like the one you just watched before it. And 4 had a lot of good action in it. A lot. I will say where this is different than, like, let's say part 1 is this is brutal like part 2. Like, it's gory. Mm-hmm. I love the scenes when the wolves are escaping and they're launching those big spears through the castle. And that one just goes in the dude's face and, like, into the wall. Awesome. Very gory when there is action. There's a lot of story in this movie. This one is, like, more story than action. And so I gave the action, I had to be honest, I gave it a 3. I mean, it's not because it's bad. It's just there's not a lot of it. And also, it's also all in the dark. It's all at nighttime. Some of it's a little dark here and there. Like, the forest scene was okay when they're in the forest and they're, like, fighting when the wolves are all coming out. The castle scenes are the best scenes. And really the best action's in, like, the third act. So, you know, you have 2 acts of not a ton of action, which is fine. Don't get me wrong. But action wise, I gave it a 3.
You know, it's I'm above you. I'm on a 4.
Nice.
I enjoyed it. I liked the fact that it's weird. I like the Lykings. It's a weird thing, right? Because we didn't see much of the Lykings. But you're right. The third act is when you saw all the Lykings. But I kind of liked when he walked into the Lyking cave and he stood there in front of all the Lyking people. And, you know, and I thought that was cool. And then I do agree. It wasn't much, but I did kind of like the fighting. And you got to see Victor put on the helmet and he did his thing.
That was cool.
Yeah, I thought that was cool, too. But you're right. This was more about the storyline than the actual fight So, I mean, I gave it a 4 because I did kind of like all the transformation. And then they all started like...
They looked cool in this movie.
They did.
I think the darkness helped with the effects. Because the CGI is, for a $30 million, they mostly look really good. Like the Lycans. They don't look as bad as they did in some of the CGI scenes in the first movie.
Yeah, and I liked when Lucien turned into, when he took off his collar and he saved his love. He was like, and they all stood back and I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And then that's when Victor became a douche. And I was like, I like this guy. He was good. Yeah. All right, storyline.
All right. So this, I like the storyline a lot in this movie. I think of the first three films, this one has the best executed storyline of the three. If you remember in the first movie, I gave it a 4 because I think there's a lot of good stuff in there. Enough good to warrant a 4, but the execution was off a little bit and the pacing was off and there's things that are off and there's sometimes too much. The second movie, I think the storyline's not good at all. I think it's overly convoluted for no reason. This one is very straightforward. You know what this reminded me of? This is like if you took the Underworld franchise and put it in like a Shakespeare play. You know what I mean? Because you have the forbidden love. You have the king, let's say, you know, Victor, who doesn't want his daughter associating with a certain type of person and their secret love. And they got to rise up. And, you know, sure, you could say it's cliche. Okay, that's fair, because there's a lot of things like this. But in this genre, there's not a lot of things like this. And that's where I think the mix is cool. Because now you're taking that sort of... This could have been, with no vampires and no werewolves, an old school, like, you know, epic type story. Like the movies that are like The Kingdom of Heaven and The Last Duel recently, right? Those old time England stories. It could have been that. But they chose to put it in this monster sci-fi action movie, right? So I think the story's really good. I think the hero is someone you want to follow. I like that the Lycans are finally, they got the shaft in the first two movies. They get more time to shine here and they're really portrayed as they should be, which is they're not the villains of the Underworld movie. If anything, they are, I'd stop short of saying the heroes, but they're more victims to what the vampires do than the other way around. You know what I mean? So you have a lot of things working. I gave it a 5. I know people are, 5, that's too high. No, I don't think so. I think just the storyline itself is very well done and well executed. And while the action might suffer a bit, I think the story is elevated a bit. So it's a 5 for me. I think this is the best story of the Underworld so far that we've watched.
I agree with you. I really like this storyline. And it's crazy, right? Because this storyline, I thought it was way better than 1. Yep. I thought it was way better than 2. We have not went into the other 4 and 5s, but right. I pretty much think this might be the best storyline in the entire franchise. I think what executed this movie a lot is that it got the elements of what we wanted, right? We got to see more of Lucien. We got to see more of Victor being evil. And I think it worked. And I think it expanded more on the story for Celine's journey. And I think that's what helped out, right? Do I think it's a perfect story? Not much, because it doesn't tie to the other Underworld movies, right? It only ties to the first movie. But other than that, that's pretty much it, because you do get to see where the elders were. You get to see them at the end, but they're in coffins in a boat.
This is supposed to help be the origin of why the vampires and Lycans have been fighting for so long.
Yeah, so like, I think this is I think you might think I'm a nut or something, but this should have been the first Underworld movie.
I agree.
And then at the end of that movie should have been Celine on the statue and then jumps down. And then the next movie will start off with her there.
At worst, at minimum, this should have been the second movie. Make a first one. You introduce this world.
Yeah,
then go
back
and show how it happened. And then go to the second should be part 3. You know what I mean?
But
if you watch them in chronological order, watch this first. It works.
No, it does work. But what happened if you could have had Celine being the child of Sonya and Lucien?
There's a lot of cool options.
You know what I mean? Like if it would have down that route that he did not know that they say, you know, I don't know. You could have did so much stuff with that story. That to me, that would have been so much awesome, because she would have fought her father with not even knowing that was his father.
Right.
That would have meant so much more. But anyway, I mean, look, it is what it is. I gave it a 4.5. I love this story. I thought it was very good. You gave it a perfect 5 out of a 5. All right. So let's get right into overall.
So overall, the movie on the whole, it's not a 5 out of 5 for me, but it's very high. It's my favorite of the... So full disclosure, from what I remember, it's my favorite of the whole series. But again, I have only seen part 4 and part 5 one time each. So I don't remember much. I remember 5 a little bit. But so it's a 4 for me. I think 8 out of 10. I think it's Personally, I think it's the best overall Underworld movie. It's the tightest. It's the leanest. It's only 95 minutes. It's not freaking 2 hours long for no reason. If you notice, and this is going to be funny, you'll notice every single one gets shorter and shorter. From the first one on, each movie is shorter than the one before it.
Mm.
Because there's so much in the first movie. There's just too much going on in the first two movies. Now I feel like they narrowed it down. What works? What doesn't? It's a four. It's a 4 out of 5 for me.
I agree. I give it a 4. I think it's a balance between story. This was more story to action, but I think it was a fine line for those people that want to see what happened behind the scenes before the actual main timeline with Celine happens. So I thought it worked very well. Other than that, what's your total points?
So my total comes out to a 21 out of a 25. I mean, it's pretty high. I know, but you know what? I like these movies. They're kind of junk. Let's be honest. You know, I will say, I feel like I'm grading them on a scale. These are not like top tier. Even though I gave the story a 5, it's not like Lord of the Rings 5. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I like this. They're kind of junk, but this is the best junk of the series. It's fun. It's entertaining. It has good violence and good characters. And I like it.
Yeah, look, you said everything. I gave it a 22 and a half. I liked it a little bit more than you do, by a point and a half higher. But it's okay, because honestly, at the end of the day, it's what you prefer, right? If you prefer the timeline, great. If you don't prefer this and you don't like it because it didn't have Kay Beckinsale, I don't know what to tell you. But guess what? This is actually a solid movie for those of you out there that haven't seen it yet. Check it out. You might enjoy it for what it is. And guess what? The main chick that plays Sonya, she kind of looked like Kay Beckinsale for
Rona people. Mitra is the actress. She's from, she had that little scene in Hollow Man. She was in the movie Doomsday. She was the lead in that. So she's a good actress. I like her.
Was she the girl in the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen? She was the vampire?
No. That was, I forget that actress's name, but that's someone else. I know who you're talking about. Yeah,
I like that movie.
I don't remember it, but I remember it being okay. Maybe we'll review it one day.
Yeah, maybe we would.
It's better than Van Helsing.
All right, no, don't get too crazy. All right, all right. Nate, you know what to do.
All right. So next week, or next episode, I should say, we'll be reviewing a 1990s Arnold Schwarzenegger classic, as it seems like we've been doing week after week, with James Cameron's True Lies. I've seen this a million times. So we're going to be reviewing that. And then next week, we will continue on with Underworld Awakening, the first Underworld that is less than 90 minutes long. So usually not a great sign for your fourth movie in a franchise, but me and Alex are going to tell you if we like it or not. So those are our next two episodes coming up.
Yeah, if you guys want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything Action Movie Guys podcast, please follow us on Instagram at Action Movie Guys Podcast or Levels of Geeks. If you guys are watching us on YouTube, if you want to support the channel, please hit that subscribe button, hit the like button if you enjoyed this review, hit those notification bells so every time we go live Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern or reviews drop, you guys will be notified. Till then, I'm your host Alex Figueroa, and that is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.